Such a good crowd this morning. I was wrong, I'll admit. I thought the crowd would be slim today because of all the weather, but it shows your faithfulness to be here, and I know the eldership appreciates it, and I surely do appreciate it myself. We're thankful you're here. Last week, we began a series of lessons upon the society that we live in today, and we titled this series of lessons Upside Down. And we're going to continue this for several more if the Lord is willing. You know, we talked about the fact that our country is indeed troubled. We are troubled because just like Isaiah chapter 5 said, some people call good evil and evil good. They change things around to suit what they want things to be in this world. And brethren, we've got to be so careful about that. And these series of lessons have been designed to inform you of a lot of those things. We talked about Isaiah 5 verse 23 says, people justify the wicked for reward. We've got people all over the world and all kinds of politicians and leaders, and they will say anything if it will pad their pockets. On both sides, it's not just one. But brethren, we've got to be aware of those things. We are Christians. We are not just members of a political party. We're not just an American person. We are Christians. We are called to a higher level than most other people. And we need to understand that. We need to understand that in the church, again, and I'll repeat it from last week, that it is our job to make sure that people understand this. Our society has failed. Our leaders have failed. Our schools have failed. And our families have failed. And brethren, we talked about we're the last line of defense. If we don't stand up and teach these things, the world is going to stand up and teach them. And in fact, the world does. The world is vocal. Very, very vocal. Because people understand the more you talk about something and the more you present it before people, the more they will accept it. And we know that's true, right? The more you see something every day, the more likely you are to accept it and to buy in that it's okay. So if we don't talk about this often, I'm afraid our children are going to grow up thinking a lot of these things are okay. And we've got to understand that that's not right. I want to say before I get into today's lesson that I understand that these lessons are hard. You know, and I can tell you I don't take a lot of joy in standing up here and preaching hard, hard things. You say, well, I couldn't tell it. Well, I don't. I usually don't get nervous when I preach, but when I preach really, really hard lessons, I get a little nervous because I know there's going to be some people not going to speak to me at the back door. I know that sometimes hard lessons upset people and cause all sorts of things, and I don't like that. But, brethren, that's not my job. My job is not to make everybody feel good and things of the sort. You know, Jesus, He preached hard lessons. And people would say such, man, that's a hard lesson. And what do? Well, did he back down? No. And I can't back down either. Now, I do want to clarify one thing. Last week, I talked about some things in reference to abortion. And I talked about things as far as in reproductive assistance. And I want to clarify, my problem with any of that is when life is destroyed. I can't tell you everything that you can do. That's not my job. But I can tell you when life is destroyed, it is sinful. And I can tell you that we need to be an informed people when it comes to things such as this. Brethren, if we believe life begins at conception, we've got to back that up. And we've got to hold to it no matter what. So I want to make sure you understand that. My problem is when life is destroyed. And I had some material out on the table Wednesday night, and it quickly got gone, and I think Glenn is printing some right now, and he said it'll be on the table after services. If you want that material and you want it emailed, you could reach out to me, and I promise you I will get it to you. I want you to be an informed people. You realize that's what 2 Timothy 2:15 says? We are to be diligent, the New King James says, or the Old King James says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Brethren, we've got to be informed because God expects us to be informed. We've got to know what's right and what's wrong. And if we don't try and strive to understand that, then we're not going to know. Today's lesson is going to be hard too, maybe for some people. But brethren, it is something that we need to talk about. I hesitated to use the rainbow colors on this slide, but yet everywhere you look, you're going to see them. The rainbow belongs to God. And the rainbow is a representation of God's promise that He's not going to flood the earth again. But yet these people have taken it, the rainbow, and they have made it their, they call it their colors. And it's this movement of homosexuality and transgender, and it's everywhere we go. In fact, we have had this idea shoved down our throat. And I know that's probably not a proper way of putting it, but I'm a country guy. And the way I see it, it's just shoved down our throat. And it's everywhere we look, everything we do, everything we hear. It is just people are saying, you have to accept this. In fact, I read an article at Apologetics Press, and Larry sent it to me, and it says what they desire is complete and total acceptance. And anything less than that is not going to be tolerated by them. The people that stand up and preach tolerance are not going to tolerate if we don't completely and totally accept them. That's kind of hypocritical, right? But when we talk about that and we think about things, and maybe you've seen such things as this. Maybe you've seen these people march down the streets and hold up their signs. And you know, that happens right here in Cookeville, right? You do understand that. And it happens everywhere all across the land. And in fact, we find that these people will say that they were born that way. They were just simply born that way, and God made them that way. So therefore, they got to accept this lifestyle and live it out. But yet, in fact, science has confirmed that is not true. There is no such thing as a gay gene. It does not exist. I'm not a scientist. Again, I'm just a logger. But you can go and you can teach yourself. Go to Apologetics Press and look at what these scientists say and have proven through genetics and DNA and all of those things. Brethren, we've got to understand that when people say this, that's not true. In fact, they want to indoctrinate our children. These are children's books. Children's books about a child that has two daddies or a child that has two mommies. And brethren, it is everywhere. It's on the Disney Channel. It's on Nickelodeon. It's on all the kids' movies. And it's, if we as parents, if we're not aware of that, what happens? Our children grow up and they see this and they think what? Well, that's just normal. You know, that's just okay. And if you're that way, that's fine. You see, that's what they want. That's what they're trying to teach. In fact, it may be adults. You watch TV and shows such as this. I've never seen this show, but it's called Modern Family, and I had heard about it. And I understand that this family has all different sorts of families, if you will. They have what we would call the normal family and the divided family, and they've got the homosexual family. But I want you to notice how they titled it. Why did they do such a thing? Because they want us to accept that is how things are today. And if you don't catch up with the times, you're what? You're left behind. Was that right? Well, we know that's not right. You know, we could take it a step further when it comes to the religious community. Do you understand that a large portion of the religious community have decided it's okay? Well, just accept it. You know, it's time. It's dear church. It's time, they say. It's time we get out of the first century and we step up into the 21st century and we realize, you know, things are different now. Things are different. I've read so many things over the last week. I need to erase my computer history because somebody's going to think I've lost it or something. But seriously, people have come up with all kind of ways that this is okay and that the Bible changed. But yet we know the Bible didn't change. Well, Sometimes people say transgender is separate and apart from homosexuality, and maybe it is. I don't understand all of that. But what is transgender? You've heard a lot about this here recently, especially. Transgender is when a person identifies as something other than what they were at their birth. Well, here's my problem. When it comes to identifying as something, how far do you go? How far can you take that? I like these. I thought they were a little funny. This one's about me. I'm fat, but I identify as skinny. Is that going to pass in today's society? I'll just tell everybody, man, you know, I don't weigh 260 pounds. I'm really 180, right where I want to be. Nobody's going to believe that, are they? Because why? What is what it is. Chase, here's one for you. You want to win some CrossFit competitions? You identify as a six-year-old and you can dominate. You will never lose. That's funny, but it's sad, isn't it? You see, the problem is when you can identify as whatever you feel like, man, that is dangerous. That is very dangerous. In fact, I want to share this with you. The same people that say you are born that way are the same people that say that you can change. Isn't that hypocritical again? Isn't that saying one thing out of one side of your mouth and another thing out of the other side? It is, right? And there's the problem. Maybe this is how you're familiar with this movement. Maybe this guy is the most popular transgender person in the world. But you know, Bruce Jenner's still a man. We're going to talk about that in just a moment. He's still a man. Maybe you've heard a lot about sports. And man, this has really made the headlines lately. And people are highly upset when it comes to sports. And this is women's wrestling. Can you picture a man that decides, I want to be a woman and I want to go wrestle on the women's team? And women have a problem with that, right? That's not fair. But why is it not fair? Why are people threatening to sue? If this is acceptable and you can be whatever you want to be, then what's the problem? What's the problem with women's weightlifting if you've got a man with long hair that dresses as a woman, gets up there and wants to lift weights? What's the problem? You know the problem. What's the problem on the women's basketball team? This is a college team. When you've got a guy with long hair that's 7 foot tall on the women's team, what's the problem? We understand the problem, right? We understand. What about, this is on the news. What about when you've got groups of people that are pushing to when a child is born, you don't call that child a he or she. You call them a they. And you don't do that until they get about 4 years old, because then they can make their own decision as to whether they are a boy or a girl. Now, I want to ask you something. Is that, I should say, common sense? My son says rare sense. It's not common anymore. It's not. And it's sad. So you mean to tell me a four-year-old can't choose his bedtime, but he can choose his gender? Does that make sense? A four-year-old can't make any other life-altering decisions. Any other. But these people are saying, oh, they can choose what they want to be, a boy or a girl. How many of you ladies that have had a child have went to the doctor and you say, well, doc, what is it? Well, it's just not clear at this point, and he has yet to choose a gender, and we're just going to wait and see what... Has that ever happened to anybody? No. You see, the problem is people don't get it. Do you realize all across the land, and this is not a new thing, well, we've got drag queens going to libraries across the land, and they are reading stories to children. Why are they doing that? Because they want society to accept this thing as completely normal. This doesn't look much like a woman. It's not normal. It'll never be normal. And I want to tell you something this morning, church. I don't care what society tells you. I don't care how many hormones a person takes. I don't care how many surgeries they have. I don't care what they dress like, how much makeup they put on. A man cannot become a woman, and a woman cannot become a man. Do we understand that? God made us different, and it's more than just the sexual organs. A man's makeup is totally different than a woman's. Completely different. And God chose to make it that way, and I don't care what people tell us. We need to understand that. We need to make sure our children understand that. You can't just up and one day decide, hey, I'm going to be a woman, and everything just, that's it. You're different. You can't be. You can't be. You can try to look like one. I'd make an ugly woman, right? I'm an ugly man. But I can't be a woman. It just doesn't work. But here's the thing. I told my wife I've got 40 slides, so if I do a minute a slide, you guys are 40 minutes. Is that okay? Here's the thing. Terms like this are thrown out. And sometimes these terms, sometimes they weigh on our emotions. Sometimes we look at some of these things and we say, how do I balance that out? I mean, you know, if it's just an alternative lifestyle, it's just something that somebody chooses to do. Well, I agree with that. It is something somebody chooses to do. Because, again, you're not born that way. Well, doesn't a person that is homosexual, don't they have rights too? Well, yeah, they have rights. And we don't want to abuse those people in any way. And love is love. I mean, doesn't that sound good? You know, if a person really loves somebody, I mean, you know, what do we do with those things? Equality. I mean, don't we want to treat everyone equal? And we're, you know, a hate group, right? This lesson this morning, it will be designated as a hate speech. But it is nothing of the sort. What do we do? How do we handle that? Is this what we do? This is a picture of two homosexual men that were beat because of what they practice. Do we do that? Do we bully people? Do we demean them and just call them everything under the sun? And do we hold up signs and march around and say that God hates you? Is that what we do? Well, that's what a lot of people do. But I'm going to tell you something, church. That's not what we're supposed to do. Not even close. Does God hate people that live a homosexual lifestyle? No. No. God loves everyone, and He wants everybody to repent. And therefore, we can't speak to the world in that way that we hate these people, because we don't. We've got to love these people. So what do we do? Brethren, I'm going to suggest we have compassion, but we have that compassion intermingled with a deep conviction. You say, what do you mean? Well, let's go to the conviction. We're fixing to look at scriptures, and we're going to look at a lot of scriptures. We're going to do it quickly. But the Bible has a lot to say about this. So we've got to be convicted that what God says is true, whether we like it or whether we don't. It really doesn't matter how we feel. God's word is final. So that's a conviction. We hold to that. What about the compassion? Well, I have studied a lot for this lesson, far more than I can convey in several lessons. But I have learned from this top picture that a large majority of the people that are within this movement have experienced a lot of abuse. Maybe it was physical abuse, but a lot more times than not, it was some kind of sexual abuse. And that abuse has put them to the place that they are in their life, that they maybe are thinking in a way that is not clearly, a way that is not godly. And I don't say, well, you're trying to defend it. No, I'm not. Brethren, we need to understand the root of problems sometimes, because you will never solve a problem if you don't try to get down to the root of it. And you try to understand why somebody feels the way they feel and maybe why they are doing the things that they do. So we've got to have a sense of compassion in that way. man, there's a lot of, and we're going to talk about next week, Lord willing, pedophilia and this human trafficking. There's a lot of that. There's a lot of child molestation in the world, and we don't even realize it sometimes because nobody knows but the people, and it causes them to act out in different ways. Well, what about this whole idea of transgender? Now to come in with a second picture. And, you know, I thought a lot about this, and I've read a lot about it, and how many of us are satisfied with our bodies? I've never thought about it from that perspective. How many of you are completely satisfied with your body right now? Oh, we want lose weight. We want, you know, more hair. We want less wrinkles. We want to change everything, right? And you realize these people perhaps have a lot of the same feelings, but yet they have them in a different sense. And even though it is wrong and sinful, if we can get down to understand why they want to be this way, then maybe as a church, we can help these people with conviction that, hey, yes, it is sin, but I still love you. And I still want you to go to heaven because God still loves you. And God wants you to go to heaven. So what do? We go to the Bible, right? We go to the Bible and we dig into the Bible and we see what God has to say about the subject and we stand by that. That's what we do. So let's see what God has to say. Do you realize in Genesis 1, if we go all the way back, if we go all the way back to when this thing started, God created man, right? God created man in his own image, but I want you to notice how he created man. Male and female. You know, I read an article this past week, or I think it was the week before last, and I read an article and they said, yeah, all the church throws out that scripture, but they don't understand. And they said the point that they don't understand is that little word, and. Where's it at? Right here, male and female. They said the church just doesn't understand that because that word and is all-inclusive. And it includes everything that is between a male and a female. And I read that and I was kind of scratching my head. I thought, what? I don't grasp that. And they said, oh, yeah, yeah. And the article said, the Bible says, Jesus speaking in Revelation, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And they said in that, it means that Jesus is the beginning and the end and everything in between. So you see, and is an all-inclusive word. And you think, wow, you're really grasping for straws here, right? Since when are we a people that don't take the Bible in its context? When the Bible describes Jesus as being the Alpha and the Omega, is the context demanding that he is everything? Yes. What's the context demanding here? Nothing other than what it says. In the beginning, God created a man and a woman. He didn't create anything else. Nowhere in the middle. You say, yeah, but maybe some people are born in a way that maybe they have parts of both genders within them. And I don't doubt that, but it is a very, very, very small percentage of people. And it is considered a deformity. Just like there's many, many deformities in birth, and all of those things are a direct result of sin. Maybe not the sin of the people that had that child, but sin is what corrupted the gene pool. If we had remained in the garden and everything had been perfect, none of those things would have happened. But the fall has all of these results. Then you flip over to Genesis 2, and the Bible talks about the fact that God had made man and it wasn't good that man was alone. And God says, I got to find him a helper or helpmeet. And the Bible says God took all the animals and he brought them before Adam and Adam named them, but it's not good that man's with a cow or a pig or a sheep. That doesn't work. God says, I've got to make someone that's going to be compatible to that man. Someone that I desire that the man take unto him and become a union. Well, God didn't make another man, did he? That's not what he made. That's not what he made at all. God caused a deep sleep to come upon the man, and he took a rib out of his side, and he made a woman. Why?
because she was taken out of man, and she is to be by his side. That's why he took a rib. And therefore, God says, you've got to leave mother and father, and you cleave to your wife, and you become one flesh. And God says that is between a male and a female. So therefore, God condemns anything other than that. Do we get that? Do we understand the silence of the Scriptures? God didn't have to go into detail here and say, all right, now, a man and a woman are to marry. By the way, a man doesn't marry a woman, and a woman doesn't marry, or a man doesn't marry a man, and a woman doesn't. He didn't have to say that. He didn't have to. And we understand that in other areas of the Scripture. Don't we understand it here? He set the standard, and the standard is final. What about when we get to Genesis 19? You've got Lot and his herdsmen. They have decided to separate from Abraham, and they chose to go over in the plain of Sodom. Man, it's well watered. It looks good. Everything is great. Lot goes over into Sodom. Sodom is a very wicked city. Very wicked city. And God gets fed up with that city. And God says, I'm going to destroy it. Maybe you remember. And Abraham begged and pleaded and said, God, don't destroy it. If I can find 50 people, will you save it? Oh, yeah. Abraham, if you can find 50. Oh, 45. No. Yeah. 40. Yeah. He gets down. God, if I can find 10 people, would you please let them live? God says, yeah, but that's it. He couldn't find 10, could he? You got five cities. Not just Sodom and Gomorrah. Admon, Zeboiim, and Zoar. Three more cities. A largely populated area. 10 righteous people could not be found. So God sends down two angels, men. And he sends them down, and they go to the house of Lot, and they knock on the door of Lot, and they say, hey, you know, we need to come in. And of course, I'm paraphrasing all this. God's going to destroy this city. You've got to get out. You've got to get out. You can't stay here. God's going to burn it. Well, in the meantime, the men of the city, the Bible says, come to the door of Lot's house, and they beat on the door, and they say, hey, we know there's two strange men came in. And he says, we want you to send them out that we may know them. That we may know them. Well, you can read those articles that try to refute the Bible, and those articles say, yeah, but you don't understand that these people just wanted to simply get to know these angels. They wanted to have a casual conversation, and they wanted to talk about where they came from and where they were going, and they just simply wanted to know them. That's not what the Bible says, is it? The Bible says those men of the city came to Lot's house, and they said, send them out that we may know them carnally. You say, well, what exactly does that mean? Lot knew what it meant, right? If I've got a little bit of common sense, I can go on and I can read that Lot says, don't do this. That's wicked. He says, I've got two daughters that have not known a man. They are virgin daughters. And he says, take them and fulfill your lust. But don't do that to these men. But yet, we've got people in the world today that say, hey, these people just wanted to talk to them. That's not what Lot understood. If that's what he understood, why in the world would he say, take my two daughters and do with them whatever you want? Lot knew exactly what they wanted. In fact, the Bible reveals later on in the Bible exactly what they wanted. In Jude verse 7, just as Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding cities, which likewise indulged in sexual immorality and pursued unnatural desire. What does he mean? They were acting in a homosexual, in homosexual activities. They were doing things that were not designed by God. God is the one that instituted marriage, and marriage is between a man and a woman. And Hebrews 13:4 says the marriage bed is undefiled. It is godly when a husband and wife come together in a sexual fashion. That is the way God designed it. But these things are unnatural, he says. They're not the way it's designed to be. Your bodies were not made for each other. And that's not what God intended. In church, it's time we get that. It's time we get people to see that. But we keep going. In Leviticus 18, verse 22, thou shalt not lie with mankind as womankind. He says, it is an abomination. It is something that God despises. You do not do that. You don't treat another man like he's a woman. Women, you don't treat another woman like she's a man. You don't do that. In fact, Leviticus 20, verse 13, the Bible says, if a man also lie with mankind as he lieth with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination, and they shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. You say, boy, that is harsh. That is harsh. That is harsh. Maybe some of you say, yeah, tell them, God. And that's exactly how I feel today. Do you realize if we back up a little bit, it says if a man lies with his daughter-in-law, it's an abomination to be put to death. If a man commits adultery with another man's wife, they shall be put to death. If a man lies with a beast, they shall be put. It just goes on and on. It's not just this. You see, sometimes that's what we pull out and we want to hold to it and we say, yeah, we've got to be against that. We've got to be against all of it. We don't get to pick and choose. Do we understand that? But I want to ask you something. Does it look like God thinks this thing is wrong? Is there any question when it comes to that? Well, there shouldn't be. What about when it comes to a man striving to look like a woman or this whole transgender idea? Well, the Bible says the woman shall not wear that which pertaineth to a man. Neither shall a man put on woman's garment. For all that do so are an abomination unto the Lord. God says, don't try to be the other. I have made you what you are. Why are you striving to be something else? Accept what you are and go on with it. New Testament talks about the same thing when it comes to long hair. It says, listen, be what you are. And don't a man grow out long hair to look like a woman or the other way around. That's not what it's about. And don't we get that? We should understand that. You say, well, that's all Old Testament. And what about New Testament? You know, we talked about Genesis 2. When it talks about man didn't have a helpmeet and God created man a helpmeet and those two male and a female are to come together and become one flesh. We read that, right? And we looked at it. Do you realize in Matthew 19, Jesus Christ quoted that scripture? And he said it still holds as true today as it ever has. It's always been that way. It will always be that way. Well, Jesus understood. But keep going. What about in Romans chapter 1? Let's look at Romans chapter 1. I want to read a little bit more of what's on the screen because I really want us to get this. Verse 21, the Bible says, because that when they knew God, verse 20 says there's no excuse to not know God's real. Everybody knows deep down. But not everybody accepts Him. When they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were they thankful. But they became vain in their foolish imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. They professed themselves to be wise, but yet they became fools. And they changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image, made like to corruptible man and to birds and to four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore? These people rejected God. They didn't glorify Him as God. They weren't thankful to Him as God. Because that reason, wherefore, God also gave them up. God says, all right, if you don't want me, I'll let you do what you want. You realize God still lets us do what we want today? If you want to live like that, He says, you can have it. But you're going to pay the price. Wherefore, God gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. God says, people didn't want me. People pushed me away. Well, don't that sound a lot like our country today? People said, we don't want you. Get out of our schools. Get out of our government. Get out of our families. Get out of our lives. What's one of the first things they turn to right here? Their unclean lusts. They dishonored their bodies between themselves. They changed the truth of God into a lie. What have I just been talking about? People say, that and means this, and Sodom and Gomorrah, this means this. And they try to take everything that God said, and they twist it, and they turn it to fit their narrative, and they don't want to listen to what He has to say. He said they worshipped and they served the creature more than the Creator. who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up. Again, God says, if you don't want me again, do what you want. He gave them up to vile affections. A vile affection, something that is unnatural, unholy, and unrighteous, and wicked. He says, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. God says, I made a woman for a man. And they decided that's not what they wanted. Even though it's explicit in Genesis 2. Even though it's explicit in Matthew 19 when Jesus repeated it. But that's not what they wanted. Verse 27. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another with men. With men. Isn't that what the lesson's about? People say the Bible doesn't say anything about that. You can take a black Sharpie marker and you mark it out of your Bible and it won't say a word. But I can assure you it's still there. You know, Jeremiah went before the king. I believe it's in Jeremiah 36. And the king there had the copy of the word of the Lord. And the Bible says he read that copy. And he didn't like what it said. And he took out his knife and he cut that copy in shreds. And he threw it in the fire. And the Bible says the people, they weren't even sad. It didn't bother them. You say, well, that sounds familiar. But you know what the next chapter says? God spoke to Jeremiah and he says, get you out a scroll. Write it down again. Because I didn't change. He can cut it up, he can throw away, he can remove it, he can do whatever he wants to do. But it doesn't change. God says, men burn in their lust for one another, men with men, working that which is unseemly and receiving in themselves that recompense of the error that was meet. God says, man, why do people do this? I mean, they have desired an unnatural, unholy thing within themselves and they're going to reap the benefits of that. And the benefits are not really a benefit. They're a punishment. Go down to verse 32 for time. Who knowing the judgment of God, they that which commit such things are worthy of death. And he's not talking about Leviticus 20 type of death. He's not talking about the old law. He's saying they're worthy of what? Spiritual death. But here's the problem, church. He says not just those, but also the people that have pleasure in those that do such things. Do you realize if we don't stand up against this, if we openly accept it and embrace it, God says we are worthy of the same thing of the people that practice it. So church, is this serious? Yes. Is it serious that we stand up against sin? Yes. But church, it's also serious we stand up against all sin, because if you want to read through that list, disobedient to parents is in there just like homosexuality. All of those things. God says we got to stand up against sin. Quickly, we got to keep going. Brother William read this just a moment ago. God says some people's not going to heaven. Just some people are not. Why? Is it because they don't earn it? Nah, nobody's going to earn it. But he says people that practice, and this is their regular life, these things, they're not going to heaven. Now, we could go through the whole list, but for time's sake, if you've got a King James, it's going to say effeminate. Those people that are like that, they're not going to go to heaven. What does that mean? Well, that's kind of small, but if you go to Thayer, it really means soft. So you mean someone that's soft is not going to heaven. Well, dig a little deeper into what it says. You know, I looked at a lot of commentaries, and they say that person's a catamite. And I thought, I've never heard of that in my life. So I go and I research what that is, but in fact, it's on the definition. It's perhaps a boy that is kept for sexual relations to a man. It's pedophilia. It's homosexuality. God says, you can't go to heaven and do that. But he goes on. He says, not only them, but abusers of themselves with mankind. Well, what does that mean? Well, that's a sodomite. And maybe some translations even say that. And why are they called a sodomite? Because that is one of the problems in Sodom, right? That was perhaps what they were known for, was homosexual relations. And that's why the King James describes it as abusers of themselves with mankind. And that's exactly what Romans chapter 1 just talked about. They left the natural use and they went against nature, and therefore they abused themselves with the same sex. God says, you can't go to heaven if you're going to live like that. You can't. It's not scriptural. Paul had something to say about Timothy. He says, we know that the law is good if we use it right. And we understand the purpose of the law. It was laid down to tell us things that are wrong. And what are some of those things that are wrong? I use the English Standard Version for clarity here. It says, the sexually immoral or men who practice homosexuality. He says, that's contrary to sound doctrine. You can't do that and go to heaven. And I know my time is up, but brethren, we've got to realize homosexuality is a sin. And it has always been a sin, and it will always be a sin as long as this world stands. And as Christians, we've got to stand up to that. And no matter how much it is pushed on us, no matter how much we see it, it is not an acceptable lifestyle. It's not with God, and it can't be with us. We've got to understand that. Brethren, we've got to stand up. I had this slide last week. We've got to stand up. And we can't carry those signs that says God hates you, because again, that's not true. But we got to stand up and say, listen, this is wrong, but I'm going to show you what is right. And I'm going to help you to get to the place you need to be. Church, I want to share this with you. I watched this movie. The American Family Association created a movie about this specific topic. And I understand, and I don't believe everything that they believe as far as doctrinally, especially when it pertains to salvation. This is a good movie. And it talks about those things in a biblical way, in a scientific way, but also in a compassionate way. And the whole movie is about we are made in the image of God. And all of these things, they're not in the image of God. They're not what God intended. It's not at all. So I encourage you to go to their website, watch that movie, In His Image. But lastly, I want you to understand, 1 Corinthians 6, 9 and 10 says there's a lot of things we can't practice and go to heaven. And we understand that homosexuality is one of them. We can't practice that and go to heaven. We can't live that lifestyle. It's not love as love. It's not just equal. It's not all of these things. We cannot do that and go to heaven. A lot of people have done that in the past. And in Paul's writing here to the church of Corinth, he understood that a lot of those people had lived that lifestyle. They had committed those things that God calls an abomination. And that's why he says, such were some of you. And I want you to notice, church, that's in the past tense. This is what you did in the past, but it's not what you do anymore. Because once you made a commitment to Christ, you put those things behind you. You repented and you stopped acting in that way, and you started acting in a different way. And when you do so, you're washed, you're justified, you're sanctified. And Jesus Christ does that for you. So even today, if someone here, someone you know has been committing these things that are against nature and against God, there's still hope. There's still hope. You can be forgiven. And we've got to, as a church, get people to see that. There is forgiveness available. But you got to own up to it to God. And you got to ask for that forgiveness. And if you're not a Christian, you've got to put Him on in baptism and wash away those sins and contact that blood that will, just like the Scripture says, wash it away. This morning, maybe it's been a hard lesson for some. I don't know. Maybe some of you think I'm harsh. Mean, maybe. But brethren, everything I said is biblical. It's all scripture. It's not my opinion. Don't get to have an opinion. Doesn't matter anyway what I think. God says it's wrong. Therefore, as a Christian, I've got to say it's wrong. And you know, probably all of us are affected by someone that doesn't believe like we believe or doesn't practice like we practice. And as a church, I hope we understand that we approach it again with conviction and compassion and try to win their soul. This morning, that's my goal. My goal is not to make you mad. My goal is not to make you not speak to me at the back door or wherever. It's not my goal. My goal is to inform you. My goal is to help you to see there is hope, but only in Jesus. You won't find it anywhere else. You won't find it. People try all these things to try to find happiness, but they won't find it because it's only in Jesus. So this morning, maybe if you've been affected by this and you're Christian and you want to make it right, or maybe this morning there's something else in your life that is going on and you want to make it right, don't be afraid to come forward this morning just because what the sermon is. It's often said, you know, I can't respond today because people will think, oh, it shouldn't be that way. If there's anything you need this morning, maybe you've been a person that you have been hateful and you have shown hate, and maybe you have been one of those ones that carry those signs and maybe you've bullied or I don't know. Maybe you just want forgiveness. Come and get it this morning. If you're not a Christian this morning, you can become one. You can believe in Jesus Christ. You can repent of your sins. You can confess His name, and we will baptize you in water for the remission of your sins. And you can contact His blood today, and you will be washed, sanctified, and justified. And you can leave here and know you're going to heaven. But brethren, as a church, I just pray we stand up for what is right. If there's anything we can do for you, please come while together we stand and while we sing.